I can
see myself though.
You can't see yourself.
That's weird. Huh. I turned it on and off, but
call an ambulance! Call an ambulance! But not for me.
You like that one?
Yeah, well, why don't you exit and rejoin?
Alright. You kicking me out?
Yeah, all right, try on. Again.
A few moments later.
He has the most problems with the technology of anyone I know who's not 90. Hey, there he is.
There he is. There's that bod.
It works?
Yeah, it's at like 240p. Now we're at 480p.
Bam. Bop. Bada bop boom. Pow.
Oh, that looks like it takes forever. Is this one? Oh, it's the one I just played.
Mamma mia!
This one's for you, Evan.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle.
So good.
So,
it's up to you. Yeah, like, if we see you or hear you doing that, we could, like, try not to talk over it. That way, if you do want to play the real sound or play
It doesn't matter. The whole point is that I can play it while you're talking. So, like, Evan, you talk, and then I'll play it, and Stu, you tell me how it sounds.
Talking about soccer and testing a sound. Gonna see how this goes. It's all right, maybe, kind of, sort of. What do you think, Stu?
That goes for like 3 minutes.
it sounds okay. Like, it doesn't sound like a soundboard like it usually does, where it auto mutes or auto brings everyone else down and then.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like,
we're pushing the envelope though.
If you do it, we will like, you know, like maybe not like stop what we're saying, but like try not to talk over it too much. That way you can then play your, you know, the actual sound over it. And then like it won't cut people off, but we can react to it better if we know what it is. So I don't know. Yeah. However you want to do it.
All right. Well, the important thing is we got this. We got the laser. We got this. The swears. And we got this.
White people are so scared. Black
people. So I think we got everything covered.
Yeah, that is true, I think that's though. All of it. Those are all the essentials.
Yeah. So how are you two doing?
I'm all right. You know, it's getting close to the day. So every day we realize something that we haven't done, and then it's a mad scramble to get it done.
What were you working on today, or before you logged on? Is that a baby thermometer?
Yeah. This baby thermometer, it was in Celsius. We could not fucking figure out how to get it to go to Fahrenheit. And then you have to, like, unscrew it, and there's a secret switch, like, deep in the bowels of the battery case to switch it. It's the dumbest fucking idea or design ever.
I think that's a different thermometer than you're looking at, or you're used to.
Big old thermometer.
Yeah.
Hey.
My wife's a veterinarian, so we have lots of rectal thermometers, and we just keep on buying human ones because we don't know which ones are for the dogs.
Well, you know, mix and match.
Cement, that's concrete, baby!
I don't know what I would ever use that for, but I haven't. Alright. So, yeah, let's just fucking talk about... Did you watch the highlights?
Yeah, all yeah. Minute 59 with...
Yeah, 30 how were seconds they? Of
it. It was USL 2016 quality where they had to show the start of the game, show 3 seconds of nothing happening, then show the end of the game and show 30 seconds of nothing happening.
But see, I don't mind that because it reminds me they're basically copied the how NBC Sports does it, where they start and they really just show like the first 5 minutes of the game. Regardless of what happens, and it's just the announcer basically giving the introduction, and then they start cutting it up. I kind of like that style a little bit.
The problem is they don't get the announcers to start it that way.
He got the first 15, 20 minutes of that game, he got everybody's name wrong. Like, he was looking at the lineup upside down or some shit. Because there's fucking, like, players were like, he doesn't even look like him. Like, he's 3 feet shorter than Lamar Batista. And like 80 shades paler, and you're calling him Lamar Batista. Like, it's not an innocent mistake.
You can't confuse Garrett and Batista, is what you're saying?
No. I'm gonna put myself out there and say, based on what the two of them look like, you're not gonna mix them up on a normal day.
Yeah, one ought not get that wrong. Was it the normal guy who does our games, or was it someone different? Because yeah, I was gonna say, I actually think the guy who does our games is not that bad. I actually watched him.
I like his style of commentating.
I'm surprised he got him so many wrong. Yeah,
it was. He's probably watching from the camera too.
Oh, he is. He's watching on his like PS4. Oh, he did a picture. He follows us on Twitter, and assuming
love
that
you,
he
Phillip.
Listens to the podcast. So he was showing his. His setup, but he's got his man wipes on the side and stuff for later. And
yeah, dude. Yeah, no, I think he does a good job. It was just something that stuck out to me that like for 15 minutes it's just completely wrong. But whatever.
Yeah.
I'll let it slide this time, Phillip. But get your shit together.
Wake up call.
Yeah. So we started with a good opening last week, and now we're back to our old bullshit.
Well, it's always the same bullshit. It's just new this time.
Did we bring Kevin back after he disconnected me?
I haven't seen him. He's been ducking me this entire time. Like, I see the backs of his heels around corners. He's doing that shit where he's pretending to be busy so we don't bother him. Mm-hmm. I know what he's doing. If I catch him, it's over for him. He knows it.
He's tried to swim in the pool downstairs, and we keep on telling him it's not a pool. It's a
puddle of gasoline.
Yeah,
that's why he stinks. Well, we're gonna have a pool in a second. There's a leak up here. Did you guys notice that?
Not in my neck of the woods.
All right. Well, it's on my side of the fucking office because it's coming down. It was just like a little water stain before. It's dripping down. I think it's like where the O. in Kodak is on the sign out front. There's a gap or something. If we find Kevin, we got to send his ass out there, Mission Impossible style, to put some spackle on it. Because it's driving me fucking nuts. It's driving me nuts.
It's an old building. We need to keep up on the maintenance.
Yeah. I think that technically falls. You know? Oh, right. Well, whatever. Welcome to the Valiant 33 podcast. I am Mike. With me, as always, is Stu and Evan. And
hey.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Hi everybody.
Hey.
And we're sliding in real quick. We're gonna try and make this a shorter one, right, Stu? You got hot date tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna try and make it quick. We're gonna talk about the game versus Cincinnati. That's the one. It took me a second to remember. What was it? It was 2-0.
Yeah, it was 2-0, and it was pretty forgettable.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm going to do. This is the first page of my notes here. I'm basically going to go right into it and say it was a bad loss. We should have won that game. We had about 9 chances on net. It was either their keeper made a crazy fucking save or we just missed. And it was a combination of the two, but we had a lot of chances. I haven't looked at the stats. I don't know the percentages of possession or anything like that. But it was just one of those games watching that you go, we should be fucking winning this. And the normal explanation would be Cincinnati just has our number. They know how to play us. They're physical. We just don't match up well with them. But I'm going to say this. Something was definitely going on. I don't know what it was specifically, but everybody who was at the game noticed that there was a weird vibe from the second we got there. So I'm not exactly sure what it was, but then I would have just written it off as, you know what? It was just a bad game, a bad day for everybody, whatever, whatever. But then you go on Instagram and Twitter and you got mile long list of people talking shit about us because we lost the game. Apparently there was a giant swell of people betting on this game for some reason. And they were just really fucking mad that we lost. I don't know what the money line was. And it was on top of that, there was just a weird lineup. There were people on the bench that you wouldn't necessarily think were going to be on the bench. There was a weird double sub in the 22nd minute. And then one of those players got taken back out in like the 61st minute. So there's a lot of weird shit. What do you guys think?
It was weird, man. Yeah, all that talk that we haven't seen for our previous games definitely makes the ears perk up. And Osu is kind of mulling over the possibilities with that one. And it definitely left a bad taste in my mouth, a funny feeling on my stomach. I didn't like the look of it. You're right that it was a game where we could have won, maybe should have won. The stats were more in our favor than usual, but I didn't. Yeah, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel good. Didn't feel right. I didn't love it. And obviously losing. I want it back, but we're not going to get another chance against Cincinnati. What did you think, Stu?
Yeah. So just to go into some of the actual money line. So we were. Minus 550, a draw, which I don't know how that works because it doesn't exist, was plus 500, and them winning was plus 900. We came in with 4 straight wins. They came in with 4 straight losses. So I can see how randoms deciding to bet on this because we've got this and the women's Euros happening. It could think that there were some issues going on. Do we want to get into what match fixing is right now?
Yeah, I just want to say before that, though, is it would be one thing if it was just like I realize people are degenerates online and they'll bet on fucking anything. So it doesn't surprise me that people bet on this league. Because if people are just bitching about losing their money, that happens no matter what. Like it wouldn't have affected me, I guess. But combined with that weirdness of what it felt like at the ground that not just us noticed, a lot of people noticed it and mentioned it. And then that weird sub in the 22nd minute, which is a very strange time to make that sub if it's tactically. I'm guessing that there was some type of disciplinary thing going on where certain people were sat on the bench for some reason. I have no idea, but it was for a reason. It wasn't just rotation, or it didn't feel like just rotation.
Yeah, so dig into it, Stu. Tell us what's on your mind.
So first, just wanted to start off with, I don't think this is match fixing. There's so much that goes into that for a concentrated effort of any of the Rhinos players to do it, it would be a lot more obvious than it was. match fixing does happen. It happens a lot more than people think. And in lower leagues, it's a lot easier because these players just aren't on huge salaries. So you offer a player $10,000 to fix a game, and they're going to take it, and then someone's going to make $100,000 on it or more. Or players who are away from home, you threaten their families. There's a lot that you can do. TIFO had a really good video a couple months ago on it and explained some of the higher levels. Typically, what we see now is it's going to be early on in the match or very late, and it's going to be something that's going to cause a penalty or something, an own goal. There's a book called The Fix from Declan White, who I've read extensively, and it's my bedtime reading. And it just goes over how it happens and what to look for. I don't think this is it at all. It's watching the highlights of the game. We had chances. We did have a lot of shots. They weren't great shots. It didn't feel like the obvious mistakes that you're looking for. And if we're looking at the coach, there's a lot into it. We would have started a bunch of the academy players if he wanted the team to lose, for example. The other thing too is that this is a team that's had our number all season. So the one game we won, it was 2-1. They got a late goal and they were going for a second. They beat us a couple weeks ago. So it's not like it's a team that we've destroyed and then suddenly we give up 4 goals. If it was going to be fixed, it would have been fixed much earlier on, and there would have been a lot more yellow cards to cause issues.
Yeah, I don't think it was a fix either. I just think this team knows how to play us. It's for all the things that we do very well, I wouldn't call us an overly physical team. We have physical players, but that's not really our play style. We may be very direct, but we're not the goon squad out there just fucking chewing bubble gum and shit. They seemed like they were very comfortable with sitting back and then counterattacking on us and creating their chances that way. And that second goal from them was just an example of being physical. He just muscled through 2 of our players and then slotted it home. So I'm glad we don't have to play him again. I'm glad they won't be in the playoffs, because that just seems to be our bogey team that just knows how to take advantage of our weaknesses.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy to just kind of throw out the match fixing talk. It was weird. Like it was definitely weird. All those comments. I've definitely not noticed those things before, like on our Twitter about weird, obviously non-English, native English speakers commenting on our matches. People who like don't even follow the team.
Yeah, in Portuguese, they were calling us. Yeah, they were calling us fucking mobsters and dirty mafia and shit like that.
Yeah. So it's the kind of talk that I have not seen before and did not expect around a Rochester, New York FC match. But so it was strange. But I'm pretty content to throw out any talk of match fixing. But I will ask you guys, I feel like I need to get my head checked after this one, because way back when we were losing a few games at the very beginning of the season, we knew it was new. We lost to St. Louis. We lost to New England. I think those were our first 2 matches by 2 or 3 goals. And pretty much everyone is saying, you know what? Even if we lose most of our games, we're just happy to have a team back. And we'd come away from a match losing a few goals, and we'd still be feeling good. We've got our team. We're here together. And I feel like I've gotten spoiled, right? My expectations have raised. We've seen this team, for the most part, be really good. We've gone on runs. We've scored goals. We've played pretty entertaining brand of soccer. And I watched this game, and I'm like, oh, what is wrong with me? Because I just didn't feel good afterwards. So after all the progress and all that stuff, and just seeing, like, also, like, a few, like, weird decisions, the team didn't even look like themselves. And like Stu, you're right, or Mike, you're right. Like that when you look at the game, like yeah, we could have won, we should have won. We won the possession. We just mentioned last week how we almost never win possession. We had like 18 shots to their like 4 or 5, and I came away feeling like it was not good. It even though like some of the ones we lose on the statistics sheet, and I feel like we dominate. And this one we win all the way down the statistics sheet, and I feel like oh, what are we doing out there? And man, I'm just like. I feel like I need to just put this one behind me, but I'm kind of having a hard time with it. The subs were weird. The team, we were in our same shape, but it just didn't feel the same. So yeah, talk me back, get me back to a positive place. Would you, Mike?
Well, I don't know if I can do that, but I do want to bring up that double sub because in the 22nd minute, it was Pop and Soares on for Inalien and Jallo. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't see anything shocking from them to be taken off. In 22 minutes is a little bit early to be making that tactical switch. Like 22 minutes isn't really much to get anybody going. And the strange thing about that, though, was that Pop, who was subbed in the 22nd minute, was then subbed out in the 61st minute for Costa. So yeah, he had like a 40-minute cameo smack dab in the middle. Bridging the half. And I've just never seen anything like that. That's why at the start I said I had a feeling it was some discipline thing where he was trying to make a point. Bruno was trying to make a point with these subs. Williams was on the bench, even though it was his birthday. So happy birthday, Eddie, for that. And it was just very, very weird. Like, I'm not dissing an alien starting. I had no problem with that. It was just weird. It was very strange.
Can I insert some fan fiction?
Yeah.
So it feels like it feels like something because I'm kind of a spiteful person. If anyone's listened to the podcast, they probably know that already.
No.
And it feels like there could have been an argument during the week from some of the players about rotation, about the fact that they weren't getting any minutes in. And then you bring on this these children to play, and you're not bringing me on. And Williams wasn't playing. He's the captain. And
did Batiz get subbed in at some point? I don't remember.
No,
Batiz, he was. Okay.
I don't think he didn't.
So he's an injury then from the last.
Oh, game. No, he was subbed in.
That's the other thing I don't understand.
He did. Oh my goodness! I missed that one. My bad.
If he was okay to play, that was another.
Well, sorry. So the MLS Next Pro website says he got subbed in. This is also what the MLS Next Pro website says for referees, for example. Referee Sean Tahini, assistant referee 1, Zeno Chow, assistant referee 2, Emma Richards, assistant referee 2, Douglas Clayton, fourth official Emma Richards. So Emma was putting in a double shift. At two spots at the same time.
Good.
And there
her.
Were two assistant referee twos. So, I mean, I know we're trying new things in MLS Next Pro, but two assistant referee twos, although I will say we probably need it with some of those offside calls we've been getting. But.
Hold on. Let me give him a laser gun on that.
Yeah, we'll take two of each.
Emma getting that fucking overtime check.
Mm-hmm. So, assuming that the website is correct, it did. It showed that he was on the field at the end.
Okay. So Brigida did a good job, but the way it felt to me was that he was trying to mimic Batiz's game, like step for step, and I think maybe that's why there wasn't as much success in that position. Because if he played like how he plays and put his own flavor on it, I would prefer to see that as compared to him. Just from what it felt like, from what I saw, that he was just trying to copy his game, I guess.
Yeah, you can't play as someone else. The issue, so much of the game and so much of what you see the brilliance of individual efforts is done without the player thinking about it. It's just, it's the motions. That's why you have natural players playing their positions. That's why Davis Smith, even though he's 7'2", can't play as goalkeeper because he's hasn't done that. So he doesn't, even though he's got the height.
Ooh, love you some Davis Smith.
Yeah. If they're trying to get a player to play as another as someone else, it's gonna screw everything up.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's true. I'm sure if he's Dante's listening right now, he's like, "Fuck you, piece of shit." But that's just what it looked like. Because I know Batiz likes to do that move where like he'll push the ball out wide and then almost try and take it down the touchline and do like a loop to get back into the box if he's trying to beat somebody. Or he just did that one time, and then that's just me stereotyping his game now.
Yeah, I'll allow for the possibility that there's a lot of things that we just don't know, and players might be nicked up. We're in the, I don't know, the doldrums of the season, dog days of summer, whatever you want to call it. So it there could be very real, normal soccer reasons for a lot of these things. It was just a lot that seemed to happen like all in one game. You mentioned that Cincinnati just feels like they have our number. It's funny, actually. I read in the match preview, their coach, the Cincinnati coach, said something basically to the effect of, we feel like we match up really well with RNYFC. And I read that like, oh, shut up. Like, you guys just got lucky. You're the worst team in the league. But maybe he's onto something. They obviously were doing something right. But yeah, just I walked away from this one with so many questions. Like, first of all, like, we have a couple guys that we know are injured. Like, Reese was out. Batiz was obviously hurt, and like we just said, got a few minutes. And like I kind of want to know what's going on with them. I want to know what's going on with Ed, right? He's been a really important player for us. Is he hurt? Was he naughty? You know, we don't know. Hungover. Who knows?
I've got more fan fiction about that.
Okay, all right. We'll get back to chat. We'll get to chapter two.
Let me just jump in real quick though before you. Cincinnati is the Crystal Palace to our Man City, where Crystal Palace takes 6 points off of Man City every season, and we can all say with confidence that they're in two different tiers as far as soccer teams go. Like, there's really not that much. Yeah. There's really no comparison, but for whatever reason, Palace just knows how to fucking play Man City and get that upset every time. And I feel like that's where Man City and their Crystal Palace.
Without the human rights issues.
Well, that goes without saying.
Vardy doesn't have some oil money, some sovereign state funds flowing through to this team. I'm not.
Well, he's gonna need that money for something else.
So my other fan fiction is one of the comments, because with some of these players that we forget is some of these players are still on loan with us. So Eddie is probably on a week-to-week or month-to-month contract at the moment. They haven't announced anything. So there could be some issues there. Kayaki is still, I just say it differently every time. Because I'm an asshole, apparently, but also because it makes Mike laugh. But he's not getting paid by his parent club, and hopefully we're paying him. I'm sure there's some issues behind the scenes with that could be a problem.
Well, that's what I originally thought. All the shit talk happening in Portuguese on our social media pages was because of my brain just goes, and I was like, maybe he started getting paid here and said, I'm not going back. And then fans from that club decided to start talking shit, you know, on us. There's a lot of things going through my head just trying to explain it, because it wasn't normal. People don't come out of the fucking woodwork like that just to talk shit on a D3 American team without a reason.
Especially after a week. Like, and the other aspect, too, is that everything I've heard from people who were at the game, it felt weird at the game.
Oh, yeah, Mateo. Mateo said it. It was a weird vibe. Like, the bench was different. People weren't talking to each other the same way. It was just so, one of those things.
I guess the good news from all of this is after that, so we were first in our division, second in our conference. After losing, we still have a game in hand, and NYCFC2 vomited on themselves against Philly Union and only got 2 out of 3 points possible. So they're 1 point ahead of us. We've got
Revs lost too, New England ate shit.
Yeah, which is important because that's third place. Inter Miami, I think they win.
No, it went to Pens, and they only got a point. Yeah, they only got 2 points. New York City did.
But we've got two games, and we've got 6 points on top of them. So it wasn't great, but we're still solid and basically third in the division, and probably basically 2.2 in the division, I would say. So
yeah, we're 2.5.
Yeah, we gotta tie the next game, and we'll be fine.
Well, what's going to happen is for the rest of the season, it's going to be us in New York City flip-flopping between second and third and in the conference and first in the division. And it's just going to be a race to see who drops points less, basically. Mm-hmm. Because New York City also kind of fucked up against Miami, and like they've been known to trip and puke all over themselves. So it's just a matter of whose shirts can remain the unpukiest.
Yeah, we still have the best points per game. We had the second best points per game in the Eastern Conference, and the best in the Northeast Conference. I don't know why we're not just the North Conference. But
what kills us is that they're always one game ahead of us in the win column, which is the first tiebreaker, not goal differential. So mm-hmm. we just need to get to a point where we win and they lose, or we win and they get a draw, so we can kind of equal that out a little bit. Otherwise, it's going to be no matter what we do, if they get a result, they hop us. So we're only 1 point behind them. So when we beat Chicago this Saturday, you motherfuckers, we're going to jump back up. And then New York City has Columbus, who at this point, I'm fine with just letting Columbus beat everybody in our division except for us.
Yeah, break some legs, break some ankles.
Yeah, Columbus can just keep mopping up. That's fine with us at this point. But yeah, speaking of unpukiness, as you are, Mike, we definitely want to beat Chicago. To lose to those two teams in a row, that would be ugly. So we're gonna want to take care of business in this one.
I'm looking forward to this Chicago game a lot because I'm on fucking Instagram all the time. And I know Batista sent a little shot over to Chicago about a picture about how they were looking at him on the field. So I'm hoping that this one has a little extra sazon in it for the fans.
That's right. This will be a nice tailgate occasion for the home fans here in Rochester. So come out early to that one. Get ready. Get the juices flowing.
Yeah. First Saturday game in a while. These Friday games or these weekday games have been a killer. I'm wondering why. Is it some deal that they made with other local teams not to play on the same day? Or is it the league saying, now we're trying to kind of fit this around MLS D1 games, and it's that reason, or it's MCC availability?
So looking at the schedule, it's they want games to be on Sundays for whatever reason.
I don't like that.
Yeah, no one likes that. So going into later August, they're not doing Fridays. They're doing a Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which is stupid. But it's pretty even where they've got two games Friday, two games Saturday, or two or three games Saturday, and then the rest on Sundays. So I think it's more about MLS and trying to appease the teams, but trying to appease the B teams' parent clubs so that they don't have, not that anyone really cares about the MLS B teams, but they don't have their fans having to watch two games back to back or two games at the same time or anything like that.
Well, if they want independent teams to join, you got to kind of cater to them a little bit. So Saturday night, and if you're going to do it Sunday, do it at like 2 on a Sunday. The weekday games I get for like Open Cup or whatever future tournaments they say they want to do, like a, almost like a CONCACAF Europa League type of thing. You can do that. That's fine. That's like accepted as the norm. But for league games, these, I think we had a Wednesday game at one point, and all these Friday games are fucking killing me. Because people work. Like a 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. game. Like, yeah, if you have a desk job and you get out at 5, you can make that shit no problem. You can eat there and whatever. But a lot of people have jobs that it's not 9 to 5. Like, it's jobs where you don't know when you're going to end. You're done when the work ends. And there's been games where, you know, I've been late or I've had to fucking pull a move just to get there on time. And it's not friendly to... I don't want to call it classist, but it's brushing it.
It's not friendly to the working class.
Yeah.
It's if you're going to have a weekday game, make it start at the earliest at 7. There's no reason to make it at 6. No one needs to be home by 8.
Right, yeah, and the Saturday games are at 7. Yeah, that's a little off. Respect the working man. Next pro. Yeah.
The Rhinos used to do, it was 7 p.m. for Fridays, and then it was 6 p.m. for Saturdays, which made sense. I don't know. I'm sure it's an MLS thing, but yeah, they're, like, we've got a Wednesday game coming up. It's luckily at 7, but there's just a lot of weird-ass times. Like, our Saturday, August 27th against New England at home is at 5:30.
Yeah, there's something to be said about knowing where to go and what time to go at. They get people in the habit of showing up to the games. If the game times are different all the time, it becomes a chore to figure out.
Yeah,
if you just say to people, like, listen, we're at John DeMarco Field, and every Saturday at 7, if you show up, 90% of the time you're going to have a game to go to.
Also, you probably tell them MCC because no one knows John DeMarco. But
well, I tried to make it sound better.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't know John, but I'm sure he was a good man. Or is. I mean, he might be alive.
Yeah.
Do you know?
It is, was forever.
All I'm saying is if they have any control over it, don't worry about what other teams' schedules are locally. Because fuck them. Just do what you're going to do. And then try and get some consistency as far as Saturday games or Sunday games, but just don't put it in the week anymore, because even if you do have a 9 to 5, but you have kids or whatever, now you're rushing after work to get everybody all wrangled up to go. It's just more pain in the ass than is necessary.
Okay. Off of that rant, do we want to go to listener questions?
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring one in from last week before Kevin kicked me off the tower. Don't worry, I got better. Question from Reddit. Where would the team be if we were in the USL Championship this year instead of MLS Next Pro, like in the table?
Oh, I like that question. I don't know the answer.
Hold on, let me pull up the table for USL. For Championship or League One?
Championship. Fuck League One.
Okay. The championship.
Yeah. Curious what Mike thinks here.
Well, we'd be in the Eastern Conference. So we'd be the 15th team. We're better than Red Bulls, too. We're better than Loudoun. We're better than Atlanta United, too.
We're better than Atlanta United.
I don't know, but a conservative guess, I would say 9th or 10th in the East.
Yeah, that's where I put it. We got really hot for a minute in May and June for scoring goals, and then that's kind of dried up.
See, the thing is that USL has USL veterans who play and know how to play in that league. It's not necessarily a case of they have better players than we do. They just know how to play in that league and play the other teams in that league, and you turn the game on, and it's a different skill set. So it's like taking a team who plays a certain way and dropping it in a league who all play a similar way.
It's much more European in the way that it plays. That yeah, and USL has gotten past the 1+1 option. I mean, they still obviously do it, but how many seasons? The guy who's with us and is now with Pittsburgh, how many seasons has he played with Lily? Like 10 at this point?
Yeah.
It's yeah, they've gotten to getting, yeah, exactly what you said, getting players. And I think it would have been probably a pretty similar start. We wouldn't have had the highs of May and June. There just would have been a lot more competitive teams.
I think we would do really well to maybe push for that playoff line in USL. But given the difficulties with us starting the year, it might have taken us a little bit longer to get over that hump. So if Mike, I think you're saying around 10, I think that's probably about right. But if things trended similarly, you know, maybe we would be putting together a streak and fighting for the playoff line to get into the top 6 or 7 or so. That might be a little hopeful, but I think we'd have maybe a shot at doing something like that if things went well.
Well, I would love to have a friendly with Pittsburgh. I know the ownership groups are friends. I know a lot of our fans on both sides are friends. They took a lot of our players when we went on hiatus, so I know a lot of us followed Pittsburgh for a little bit, just kept an eye on our boys. I would love to see a friendly, and we could find out. You know, I mean, Pittsburgh, I think, is like third or fourth in the league.
Yeah.
So they're doing well. I'd love to test our boys against theirs and just see where we fall.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I'd be curious.
So a little known fact is the jersey that never was, which was going to be the first year of our hiatus that never happened. Our jersey was going to be black and yellow or black and gray stripes with yellow trim, very similar to Pittsburgh. I think that was to confuse all the players into not leaving.
It was sponsored by Timbucha.
Yeah. Which the sponsor was fucking ugly. It was green and purple on a black, gray, and yellow kit.
Yeah. But it was a sponsor, so.
Yeah.
Just somewhat ironic that happened after.
Fun little fact. I think there's only one in existence.
Yeah, it got sold on eBay.
Yeah. All right. You good on that? You want to actually do the listener questions?
Yeah, that we just did one.
Well, that was yours.
Oh, no, I don't count. I've right. covered half of these already.
Yeah. I'm not going to do Matt's because he said debate and theorize why the subs were made in the 22nd and 60th minutes. We already covered that.
Weird stuff. We don't know. But I will say, let me add one point. I want a Bruno presser. I want him to face the media. I want him to answer those questions just every now and then. Wouldn't that be nice to just say, how is this player doing? What's an update on this injury? Why did you make that sub? It would be nice just to be able to get some kind of preview that's not the form of how the team you're playing against is doing. You know, like pretty much all our previews are like, this team has been winning lately. This team has lost a bunch lately. That's the extent of the previews because that's all you can really write. And this guy scored a few goals last week. You know, it'd be nice to actually get some talk with not just the friendly questions to the managers. You know, just a little pressure here and there would be nice.
I like that idea a lot because it also is a thing that makes the team more pro. It's pro teams do that. They have their coach sit at the table and the press ask them questions. And I guarantee you, we could get a press pass, so we could probably ask some questions.
Yep. Put me in a mop before the game.
Yeah. No, I do like that idea. I would love to see that because even if other teams don't do it, so what? Let's ourselves push the envelope and do things like that.
Yep. Make this into a real, make this into the league we all know it is.
All right. Anthony writes, Cincy goalkeeper stood on his head.
That was my answer to the question. He did. He did. We had a lot of shots. We saw that. We definitely could have, should have won.
Yeah, he's probably the best keeper that we've come up against, to be honest.
Yeah, it was impressive. Costa had a banger that he did a really nice job handling. There were a few really good saves in there.
So I don't want to disagree, but I want to make sure we're not just the agreeing chorus. And his XG isn't great, but I would say he probably had the three highlights I saw, he had a good match. And that seems to be a reoccurring theme, is that next game he'll let in the 15 goals.
Well, it's like what you mentioned earlier in an earlier episode, where we're facing MLS caliber keepers more so than MLS caliber field players.
Do a quick reiteration. The issue we have as a lower league team is that you can have 5 forward signs, 8 midfielders, 8 defensemen. You'll have 2 goalkeepers, but an MLS team will have 2 goalkeepers. The USL Championship will have 2 goalkeepers. So the quality of goalkeeper that you're going to get in any league lower is going to be that much better than what you're going on any other position on the pitch.
Okay.
Next question.
Next question. Electric Gregtar writes, have you guys heard any news about the Rhinos trying to find a permanent home, or will they be at MCC for the foreseeable future?
A lot of theories. I don't know about news. Have you heard anything you would call news, Mike?
No. I've heard is theories.
Yeah, same. It's anything. If we're going to get a stadium in 2024, it needs to be announced this year, I feel, for it to be more of a stadium than what we have right now. I'm okay with having the stadium we have, or having a similar stadium as what we have now. I think we need to have some sort of permanent food options, and obviously probably double to triple the seats, but it's going to take a period of time. The team's already said earlier this year that they had issues building stands in March and April. So obviously that can't happen. They don't need to move far, but I think that there needs to either be a big investment at MCC, or they need to build somewhere else.
Yeah, I think the smart way to go about it would to be just look at what properties are already owned by the real estate company that the front office owns, and then pin potential stadium sites on those. Because I think for the time frame that we're all thinking about and talking about, it's buying land is an added thing to that. So if you go for land that's already owned, that speeds up the process a little bit and is probably far more likely, especially with the cost of buying land.
Yeah, I know nothing. I know only what I want, but I know nothing on this topic.
I think I have chapter 3 that we may cut this. And
more Stu fan fiction.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
So we were talking to another soccer group. We're talking to another soccer group locally, and we were just BSing and just posting stuff on Reddit. And posted something near the airport, because certain people own land near the airport. And it got us into some trouble, because we were being accused of being moles, being sharing information that was private. So I could see that the team already owns land. The team already has looked into this. And like the team has been, they have been very quiet. And I could see them looking at the season and then moving on from there.
What piece of land? I'll stop with the censor. What piece of land was it specifically? I don't remember.
It was, I want to say it was some land like south or east of the airport, like really close to the airport.
Terminal along B.
East River Road?
Possibly.
Oh, by like Crittenden.
Yeah.
It was by like Crittenden, McGinnis.
Yeah.
Is that big swath of land? Because there's a thin strip of neighborhoods along East River Road. It's right by the river. But then Crittenden Road just kind of cuts through a forest. So there's already a road to service that area. And yeah, there's a big just swath of forest in there. There's right by a golf course, which would be great for Eddie Williams. That'll probably get him to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right by Love and Cup. It's between Love and Cup on West Jefferson and East River Road by the golf course. I remember this now. And by Genesee Valley Park, too.
Mm-hmm. So it could have just been BS. It was a number of years ago. But there could be something that the team already has in mind. They wanted to see how this season went, make sure it's not going as well as it is for the other team, and ensure that they would get a return on their investment.
It depends who owns that land, because if it's owned by the town, that's going to be a little bit hard to pry that out from their hands. But there's already some very small tracts of neighborhood. It's just like a quick little, it juts out and it's a little dead end street. So and it butts up against a golf course and a Lynchwoods Nature Park. So the amount of land is way more than what would be needed for stadium and parking. So there is available space. It's not like we're cramming anything in there. And it would be slightly close to the river, which is nice.
Yeah. Get some nice view, hear the train every once in a while.
I can hear everybody fucking typing furiously into their phones right now.
I'll just say don't go to Empire.
Yeah, that's a little out there. I know Empire was supposed to be the original place to play, but I'm glad they didn't do it there. Just because there's nowhere to park. That's the thing. Like, you'd have to park next door and walk, which I'm okay with, but I know a lot of people would bitch about it.
Yeah. So, the last question, North Korean pirate. Favorite show you've watched recently?
Stranger Things. Is that too obvious?
I haven't seen the new season.
Oh, come on. Wake up.
I kind of got sick of it.
Mine is much less intellectual. I'm halfway through the most released season of Love Island Australia.
Ooh. Ooh.
What's happening? Give us your thoughts on it. Give us a quick rundown.
So it's great because you have all these people in their early 20s who think they know everything there is in life. And everyone comes in and talks about all the people they slept with, all of that. And then they come in and are like, I'm ready for a relationship. And then they realize they're not ready for a relationship.
I finally got around to watching Love on the Spectrum, that show, the autistic dating show that you told me about. Yeah. That's not the latest thing I've watched, though. I'm just...
Yeah, it's it's wonderful and oddly depressing at the same time.
It's that good garbage.
Yeah, it's the I think we're just talking about both shows.
Oh yeah.
There are times when I want to learn things, and I typically don't watch TV when I do that. So.
Yeah, I've been watching this show. Well, it's an anime called Black Lagoon. It's from back in like 2006, I think, around there, the golden age of anime. And it's just about, it's like a group of pirates, basically, like modern day pirates. And they go around and get into all sorts of hijinks.
So North Korean pirate would love it.
Oh, yeah. No, I've told him about it. That's why he asked this question.
Perfect. There you have
it. Do we have any comments about the next game?
Yeah, we better fucking win.
Yeah, we better fucking win. Yeah, same. I know you don't want us to always agree, Stu, but we better fucking win.
Well, nobody's going to disagree on that.
So, I just realized that... So, sorry, I'm looking at the clean sheets for the team and clearly not paying attention to the question I just asked. And they're just making up the team. Like, if you go to MLSnextpro.com...
Yeah, it's an average. It's an average.
No, but the team name.
Oh, what is it?
It's... The top for everyone is RLZGALVR, which I know a lot about soccer. I don't think that's a thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't even understand what you're...
I could pull it up, but I refuse to pull it up.
Yeah, so they've got everyone's name. They've got their the statistic. And then underneath, for assuming the team, it just says RLZGALVR. LVR.
We need to decode it because that's how they prefix the matches.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so you can snip that one and send it over to us later. Yeah.
Send it into the supercomputer. We bought that fucking thing. It's just been sitting in the corner.
I told you that I was going to install it next weekend.
Yeah. Every week is next weekend. Well, let's get Kevin on it. We'll put his ass to work.
I think Kevin's going to... I think he's just going to throw it out the window.
He can't with his little skinny pencil arms. He's a weakling. No, but for real, we better win this game because we can't afford to drop points.
Yeah,
I want a home game. I want a home game for the playoffs, and I'm assuming the winner of the division gets locked in for home games throughout, and I want that shit.
How do the playoffs work? Because I don't think that they can do throughout, because I think it's only you playing the other team in your division, basically.
I don't know. I haven't read anything about home field advantage, but I'm just assuming.
No, I think it's two divisions, but it's not necessarily two teams from each division in the conference, so because it's four teams from the conference is all that's guaranteed. One from each division guaranteed. So we would play two versus three.
Yeah, so if we're fourth, you would probably have to travel to Columbus.
Yeah, and Columbus definitely have that wrapped up.
Anything but fourth. Basically, we need to stay second in the conference. But being second in the conference means we're first in the division. So whoever we play who's not Columbus, we're going to get that home game.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a baby coming. I can't fucking travel to New York City or travel to New England. I need that shit to be here.
Yeah. Also, I was just in Queens, and I was like, "Oh, I'll go to the stadium or something," and plaster stickers all over it. And it's a distance from the airport, just in case anyone's wondering.
Noted.
Yeah. So go to JFK. It'll be a bit closer.
All right. I had something to wrap us up, and I completely forgot.
I could talk about our first sponsor.
Who?
Kodak.
Oh, they finally fucking got around to it?
Yeah. So they wanted me to read this very pertinent and logical copy. So Kodak's just announced the Prosper 7000 Turbo Press.
Wait, do you want background music?
It's Kodak. I don't think they want background anything.
I'll do it anyways. Just keep going. I'll get it.
The world's fastest inkjet press. When time is of the essence, the Kodak Prosper 7000 Turbo Press can handle big jobs lightning fast. Take on bigger, longer, more ambitious jobs than ever before at the lowest print cost of any inkjet press on the market. Drive higher profits, deliver better turnaround times. Are you ready to take your print to the next level?
Is there more?
I could continue to read the website, yes.
Yeah, keep going.
Ready for speed? The Prosper 7000 Turbo Press delivers industry-leading... Oh, god damn it, I lost the page.
Come on, Stu, we're doing this live.
Delivers nearly 35% faster than its nearest competitor 410 MPM, which is 1,345 FPM. The Prosper 7000 Turbopress has been specifically designed to handle high-capacity runs at super-fast speeds with minimal downtime. No other inkjet press on the market can match it for all-out speed, meaning you hit deadline after deadline with ease.
Hell yeah. Kodak. Come on, Evan. Kodak.
Kodak did something to his grandfather, clearly.
Yeah, listeners, keep an eye out for the V33 Twitter. Stu is going to post an MPM to PPM conversion chart. Were those the two units?
FPM, come on.
Okay, yeah. Post the conversion chart for our listeners so we can really get up to speed with the Kodak lingo.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm never going to learn it. I refuse.
I realize what it is. It's meters per minute and feet per minute. So,
there it is. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, you want to do score predictions?
Sure.
Do you want to? We don't have to.
We haven't
been right like one time. So
I think I was right. I think I got one of them is 3-1. It was 3-1.
Yeah, well, me and Evan.
Go ahead, Stu. Lead us off.
So, I'm going to say, let me just look at their last game because that's the only thing that matters. I'm going to say it's going to be 2-1.
And you, of course, don't say who wins because you want everyone to know that the home team comes first.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for figuring this out after 6 months.
You just got to know. Listeners, dear listeners, I'm going to say 1-1, and I don't have to say the team names for 1-1, and I'm going to say another Kaike masterclass gets us over the line for 2 points, and then we're up and up from there.
What do you think the PKs would be, the number there?
5-4, one big Kaike save. Will be what it takes.
The standard has almost been one save and one miss. It's kind of
right.
Like the
I think we got to get more soccer balls because they keep on going into orbit.
I'm gonna go 1-0 us. I think it's gonna be dirty. I think they're gonna be feeling pressure, and they're gonna still have some sour in their mouth from this last game. It's gonna be a little sloppy, but I think we get a goal in the first half and then just kind of hold out.
Yeah, I'm in too dark a place to predict 3 points, but I can't not say at least 2.
I know. It feels wrong to predict a loss, yeah. So I refuse to do it.
Anything else?
No.
I'm content.
Yeah.
I'm happy with this evening.
All I'm going to say, just give us something to talk about next game. We'll give you a 3-hour episode. Give us something to talk about.
Yeah. I just want to feel good again. This helped, guys. This helped. Thanks again, you know. This helped.
That's why we're here.
Oh, the gift basket. We never gave it out because Rex wasn't at the fucking game. So here's what we're doing. Rex. With the gift basket, I'm gonna have it in my trunk. The first listener to come up and just say I want it gets it. Because if Rex can't be bothered to show up, I can't be bothered to come up with a cool way to give out this gift basket. So that's how we're doing it.
Oh, not even going to make them say what the name of the podcast is?
No, I don't even give a shit at this point. If they don't give a shit, I don't give a shit.
Just got to want it.
You're not going to bring Rex Rhino's baby along?
No. Fuck them kids. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Brilliant stuff, gentlemen.
I could see Evan like not enjoying the me saying copy very poorly into the microphone.
Well, are you doing a Siri V this week, or are you saving it?
We have tentative plans to record for Thursday.
All right. All right, everybody, fucking get ready for Thursday.
Yeah. All right.
End it.
My God.
Say when I'm ready, you must hold on steady. We're moving off at lightning speed, yeah. Take a seat and just wait till I'm ready. I'm coming, hold on steady, cause big ships sailing on the ocean. We don't need no commotion. Big ships sailing on the ocean. We got to come over. Big ships sailing on the ocean. Whoa, 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 yeah. Say we're sailing on the ocean. Yeah, say there's a time when the sea gets rough. The wind is blowing and the fishes keep moving. What are you doing, Mr. Man? Sit down, hold on tight, get ready, cause we are sailing. Big ship sailing on the ocean. We don't need no commotion. Big ship sailing on the ocean. We got to come over. Big ship sailing on the ocean.
Ooh. Ooh.